Welcome to the Driving Forward podcast. We have a great interview on highway safety today. In this interview, we are going to discuss how highway policy can improve highway safety for everyone. We touch on important subjects such as emerging technologies and their impact on our safety, how highway investment can improve safety on our roads and bridges, and we'll touch on the newest Buy America rule and what impact it will have on the safety of our roads and bridges. In light of the tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore, the safety of our roads for both the traveling public and the workers trying to fix our roads each day has been a big subject. I hope today's interview sheds some light on the important role the safety infrastructure industry plays on keeping both the drivers and the workers safe each day. And now, onto our interview. Joining us today is Stacy Techner. Stacy is the president and CEO of the American Traffic Safety Services Association, also known as ATSA. ATSA is the leading source of information for the roadway safety infrastructure industry. Stacy, welcome to the Driving Forward podcast.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, you know, like we like to do on the Driving Forward podcast, we like to kind of level set and allow you to kind of discuss your industry. So can you talk about ATSA a little bit? How big are you? Who are your members? What do you guys do?
So happy to. ATSA is the safety infrastructure side of roadway safety. So when you think of that, it is guardrail, cable barriers, pavement markings, signs, signals, temporary traffic control, any of the things that after the road is built that make the road safer. And so our members are the ones who either manufacture or install that roadway safety infrastructure. And we have just over 1,000 company members. And in addition to that, we have a number of state DOTs that have become members of ours as well, so that they can have access to the second side of our business, which is training. And so in addition to the safety infrastructure, we know it doesn't do anything without proper training. So we also have a training side of the association as well that does everything from the flaggers to the traffic control supervisors that you'll see on a site.
The flaggers, are those the people that, you know, what are they doing? What are the traffic safety control people doing?
Sure. So when you think of a flagger, if you've come up to a work zone before, you'll see someone who's standing there with a stop slow paddle. In a number of cases, you will. And they're really that last line of defense on safety before you go into a work zone, so that they can control the flow of traffic that goes through there. And a lot of people say, really, do you need to train someone to do that? Actually, you do, because if you get traffic coming from two ways and a collision, or people coming through there too fast without a slow sign, they have an incredibly important job, even if it is an entry-level position into the industry. But then your supervisor is one who is making sure, is a work zone set up properly? What a lot of people don't realize is when they take a look at a work zone, there's got to be a proper taper. There has to be proper equipment. Are the signs placed at the right places within the work zone so that the driving public remains safe? So there's a lot that goes into what a lot of people consider an annoyance, which is a work zone. But without that proper setup, we would have chaos.
Yeah, I think, you know, work zone safety and you know, we all see the orange signs that you're entering a work zone. I think everyone recognizes that, but you don't always realize all the things that go into making sure that people, you know, working on the side of a highway where people are driving 60, 70, 80 miles an hour sometimes, there's a lot that goes into that. And I know one of your big annual events every year is Work Zone Safety Week, and I know that's coming up soon. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We've kind of, over the last few years, rebranded that, so it's called National Work Zone Awareness Week. And this year, it's going to be April 15th through the 19th. And really, the theme of what we're doing this year is work zones are temporary, but the actions behind the wheel can last forever. And that the big national event for that is going to be April the 16th. And if you remember, a year ago, we lost 6 roadway workers in a work zone incident. And so Baltimore is actually going to be hosting that national event at a site overlooking where we lost 6 roadway workers last year. And unfortunately, this year, we just lost another 6 when the Key Bridge collapsed as well. So Baltimore and the Maryland DOT really have a big role in work zone awareness.
Yeah, the the bridge collapse is a tragedy. And I think we're all, you know, learning more about that. And I think it's people are learning about what could have been done or what can't be done. And I don't think we're going to know that for a while and all that. So I'm glad that you guys are really elevating that option, that idea and that issue, because it's important for everyone in the highways.
We are. And what we're really seeing from that is the investigation is going to yield a lot more information for us. But this collapse is so unique, especially to roadway safety. A lot of questions are being asked around the roadway safety aspect. And I'll just say communication is key in anything that's going on, whether you're setting up a work zone, you're a crew working out there, whatever it happens to be. And thank goodness for the communication from that ship to the first responders who were able to shut down the bridge and get the driving public off the bridge. But unfortunately, not all of our workers were able to get off there in time. So we will be honoring those lives. One of the things that we do within ATSA is we have a foundation, and we host a roadway worker memorial that lists all the people whose loved ones would like to have them placed on that memorial. And granted, not everyone wants to, but that's a traveling memorial that goes around to various DOTs and events around this country, because not everyone realizes just how many people we lose in work zone accidents every year.
It's really special. You know, how many are we losing each year? Is that a number increasing? Is it decreasing or about steady?
I would say that it's decreasing now. In 2021, we had our most recent data, and DOT gathers all that. And I just don't think the clearinghouse has 2022 data complete yet as they audit it. But we lost about 956 people in work zones. Now, I will say most of those were the traveling public, drivers and pedestrians. But when that happens, there's obviously some incidences as well. And just to give you perspective, in 21, we had 106,000 work zone crashes that occurred at various levels. Now, that resulted in 956 fatalities between drivers, the pedestrians, passengers, and workers. But nonetheless, yeah, we're on a quest to get to zero. We do not want to have any roadway deaths, and especially not in work zones.
Yeah, that's great. That's really, you don't realize that there's that many, and that's something we need to, you know, obviously, I know you guys are really leading the charge in making that better. And as we've talked over the years and others, is how can we invest in our infrastructure to improve safety? What are the things that, you know, we can do to really reduce that number? I know there's some things on the driver's side, but what are some of the things that can be done as we invest?
One of the things, and part of it's just an attitude change, roadway safety is an afterthought for so many people. And when we're talking about the driving public, distracted driving, yeah, a lot of those accidents occur because somebody's picking up a phone to take a look at something or make a call. I've even seen people try to do Zoom calls, you know, in their car while they're driving. And, you know, I hopefully can disrupt those when I see them and honk and like, hey, you got to put that down and create some additional noise. But the real challenge we have in looking forward is making sure we're investing. And even within the industry, a lot of times there's conversations about there's highway safety improvement funds, we call them HSIP funds. But then once those get dedicated, then there's always a debate, well, can we flex those? Can we pull some of those out to put them over here? And every time we do that, every time we have that HSIP debate, it's just putting safety at a lower and lower priority, which is in complete opposition to, you know, the DOT and NHTSA and everybody else's road to zero deaths that we are signed on and committed to. We were one of the first partners to sign on to that. But our actions have to be consistent with how we spend our money. It's no different than in our personal lives. If you want to do something, if you want to make a change in something in your personal life, you dedicate funds and time to it. You want to make something change on our roadways, you got to dedicate time and funds to it.
Yeah, I know, you know, we had Hillary Keane from the Auto Innovators on a few months ago, and we talked about new technologies and connected and autonomous vehicles and a lot of the safety benefits that can come from that. How do you see those technologies and interacting with the work zone safety areas? I think that's got to clearly be a critical portion of that.
Yeah, it is. And I will say technology is playing a huge role in roadway safety. And I don't think we know everything on autonomous vehicles yet. I think we're a few years out on that. We're still learning what electric vehicles, how they're going to interact with roadway safety infrastructure. But what we really have to be aware of in all of that is there's always going to be human element. Even if there's an autonomous vehicle, there's a human element behind a portion of that. And the human element has to be committed to the safety in order for it to flow through autonomous, AI, whatever it happens to be. I'll give you a quick example. One of the things that's happening in work zones is some of the worker vests will have a little buzzer on them that vibrates. And so as a vehicle is approaching, and they might be approaching a work zone too quickly, or they may be work too close to the edge of that work zone, some of the vehicles now have been outfitted with that technology so that a beacon senses what's going on. It sends a message to the driver of the car on their dashboard that says, slow down, you're approaching a work zone. And also it sends a message to those workers that are too close to the edge or closer to the edge so that they get a vibration to remind them, hey, you need to move away. So there's a smart element in that, but it can only be as smart as the humans that are using it.
That's good to see the technologies consisting to improve across every aspect of the highway. So that's great. You know, I think you touched on another subject that, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about. And you talked about how, you know, new technologies like electric vehicles, how they're going to interact with the road safety equipment. You know, we had a recent Buy America rule that was just finalized. And I wanted to, you know, get your thoughts on the rule and on the manufactured products waivers. And, you know, what are your thoughts on how this rule will impact your industry and how, you know, everything's changing and how that's going to impact you guys?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, I want to say we are as big a supporters of anyone as buying and producing goods in America. However, with that in place, we also have to be realistic because you can't just turn one spigot on and turn the other spigot off. And unfortunately, that's what's trying to be done right now. And there's also some rules in place with the EPA. There are certain things that go into manufacturing highway products, and I'll use pavement markings, for example. The resin that you make paint with, the EPA isn't going to allow us to mine that in the U.S. at the levels that would need to be done. And so that raw good comes from somewhere else. Now, it may get mixed and made in the U.S., but because of the resin and what's in the resin, it's over 55% from somewhere else. The second thing, which is kind of a little known fact that we're proud of, is the retroreflectivity of pavement markings when you go down, whether it's, you know, paint or anything else, thermoplastic. What makes it reflect back are little glass beads. So as that drops down, little glass beads drop on top of it, and that's where you get the reflection from headlights at night or during the rain, whatever it happens to be. Well, those raw materials don't come from the U.S. So if we can't produce those goods in the U.S. at the 55% level, then we can't put them down. All of a sudden, we are really cutting off our nose to spite our face in terms of roadway safety, just to be in compliance with Buy America. So that waiver you were talking about has been in place for decades. I'm not saying that it won't go away, but what we really need to know is it can't go away tomorrow. Just because OMB issues guidance and says everything in the IIJA from this point forward, well, we can't just turn one spigot off and the other spigot on. There's not enough raw goods produced in America for that right now. So again, not that we don't want to get there, but we're going to need these waivers over time till we can come up with a plan that works for government, works for industry, and works for the safety on the roads.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the retroreflectivity. I've seen such a change in that space over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, it seems like that, you know, I remember driving home at night in the rain and you couldn't see the lane markings. Now, some of that was the roads around DC needed a little more work, but, you know, there's so much has gone into that. And it really, you know, I think has done a great job of, you know, reducing crashes. And it's something we need to continue to get out there onto the roads.
You're absolutely right. And exactly what you just said, if we can't put it on the roads because of the Buy America clause, right as it is written right now, then we can't put paint down. So what you couldn't see before, it's just going to continue to wear away in the future as whether it's rain, wear, snow plows actually do a lot of damage to pavement markings. So we've just got to be aware of yes, we want to do what's right with our heart, but we got to take our brain with us. We just got to do both of them.
So one of the things we've talked to all of our guests about, and I think it's probably one of the most important issues facing the future of our infrastructure, is Highway Trust Fund and the ability to fund future projects. I think, you know, we've talked to a number of our guests about that, but the certainty of funding. Right now, we're using general funds to really fix the shortfall in the trust fund. We have new rules coming out on for trucks and cars on you know, different technologies that reduce our ability to raise revenue from the gas taxes. What do potential cuts to the highway safety side mean if we can't fund projects because their trust fund just is running out of money? How is that going to impact you guys?
Well, it's going to have a huge impact, because if we truly are committed, as I said before, if we're committed to moving towards zero deaths on our roadways, that's going to take investment. And the pay for that, which we, a lot of us talk about, is how do we pay for that? Well, a lot of that comes from the gas tax. And as we're moving to more and more electric vehicles, by the way, electric's not using gas. So we've got to come up with a system so that everybody pays their fair share. And the gas tax hasn't been raised in many, many years. And it may be time to readjust that as well. I'm not one that's for new taxes, but I don't look at the gas tax as really a tax. It's probably a misnomer. It's a user fee. And we have to have a fee that everybody uses to access these roads. They're not free. They're not free to build. They're not free to make safe. And we have to remember, when these roads were built, it was for a different purpose, with vehicles that weighed different, looked different, behaved differently. And we have to evolve our roads to meet the technology of our vehicles and the evolution of the driver.
No, that's a great point. I think there's a lot there that, you know, the IIJA was really, we talk about it as a once in a lifetime opportunity. I think we need to change that thought. We need to look at that as, this is how all of our bills need to be. We need to continue to invest. We can't go back to the smaller bills, because our needs are so high. And as we are getting new technologies onto the roads, you know, we're going to need to have enough funds to really invest to accommodate those new technologies. So what do you think about that?
You're exactly right. I'm going to use an example of a new technology in electric vehicles. And it's a hot topic right now. We're just at the point where we're testing, what does a collision of an electric vehicle on today's roadway do to the roadway safety infrastructure? And the vehicle has a different center of gravity. It's heavier than it used to be, and it travels differently. And in reality, a lot of them don't have an engine in the front because they have everything underneath. So as they collide with some of our infrastructure, we're finding that it behaves differently, and it may not be as safe as it was with a gas-powered vehicle. So we can't have these unfunded mandates of move to electric vehicles, but not fund improving and updating our roadway technology, which is the responsibility that comes through the government.
Well, let's move on to, you know, our final question that we've asked everyone, and I'm curious what your answer is going to be. So if you could wave your magic wand, if you could do one thing to really improve roadway safety in America, what would it be?
We are all about moving towards zero deaths on the roadways. And so it would be about removing the distractions from the roadways. I'm going to go ahead and use an example. I'm going to go back to National Work Zone Awareness Week, because that's where we see we can make a difference. And if we could wave our magic wand, it's how do you become more aware of roads being made safer, being viewed as an investment and not an intrusion into your privacy? I would say, let's start by making our work zone safer, because if you have that first step, it'll make people more aware of how they're driving and what they're doing on the roadways, so that everybody remains safe. Everybody comes home at the end of the day. There's nothing worse, Andrew, than one of our contractors having to go to a family to let them know that their mom or dad or sister or brother, whatever it happens to be, it's not coming home, because there was a distracted driver that went into a work zone and took their life that day while they were just working to make the roadway safer. With that, I'm just going to put a shameless plug in one more time. April 15th, Work Zone Safety Training Day. April 16th is our national kickoff event in Baltimore, but there are events all over the country. April 17th, if you do nothing else, make that your Go Orange Day. You'll find companies like M&M's and Sunny D and a lot of other companies who are really focusing on their orange products to help us support Go Orange Day so that we can remember those who have lost their lives in work zones. And then the 18th, watch your social media, because we're going to have a social media storm that day. The hashtag is NWZAW.
Well, it's great to hear. We will obviously support you guys as we get the orange out as well. And I appreciate that. And I really appreciate your thoughts on what we could do. And, you know, distracted driving is a huge problem in this country. It's a huge issue facing the highway users industry as well. I mean, I think the number of deaths, we're not seeing that decrease. We're really seeing that increase on the roads. And a lot of that is because of distracted driving. So I appreciate your thoughts on that. And with that, Stacy Teschner, I appreciate you coming on today. This was a great interview, and I look to have you on again sometime soon.
Thank you.
All right. I'd like to thank Stacy once again for coming on the Driving Forward podcast. I thought it was a great interview on a really important subject, and I hope everyone learned a lot. Please continue to listen and subscribe to the Driving Forward podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Topica.